All right. Let's ask the question, how can you believe a Bible that is full of contradictions? The answer is, it's not full of contradictions. And I've heard men actually say, can you name a contradiction? I really have never found one in the many years that I have been studying the Bible, never found a contradiction. So could you point one out? But the questions often asked, of course, it assumes that the Bible has many discrepancies. This is because they don't go to the Bible. They go to the enemies of the Bible who are throwing this out. These are ignorant people, ignorant of the Bible, I should say. And so they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and so on. So it would make it impossible to believe the Bible came from God if it was full of contradictions. So what about the soft answer? Well, we agree with them that if the Bible contains errors and contradictions, it would show that at least those parts did not come from a perfect, all-knowing God. We agree with that concept. What we do disagree with is the idea that the Scriptures are full of mistakes. Anyone can accuse the Bible of inaccuracies, but no one has proved it. You see, nobody's proved it. So the soft answer. Now, the explanation, what we want to understand is, let's bring them up to into reality. Let's move on to explanation there, Catherine. All right. Explanation. Certain passages may at first glance appear to be contradictory, but investigation shows that this is not the case. Now, we want to deal with this in several ways. First of all, we're going to have to demand fairness, because you can't just treat the Bible differently from every other book. To defend the Bible from the attack of contradictions, we need only to show a logical answer. We don't have to please you with the answer. You say, but that doesn't fit. We say, well, here is the answer. And if there is one logical answer, that takes care of it. Then definitions. What people don't know today is, what are they talking about? What is a contradiction? What does it make to have a contradiction? Well, there is in logic a law of contradictions. What is that? It's also known as the law of non-contradiction, which in itself may be a contradiction, I'm not sure. But the thing is, this is the law of logic itself. You're not being logical if you contradict the law of contradiction. So what is this law? The law of contradiction. A proposition cannot be both true and false at the same time and in the same sense. You can't be both A and non-A at the same time, whatever A might be. The law of contradiction is crucial because it prevents logical chaos. If a proposition could be both true and false, it would lead to the principle of explosion, where everything becomes provable and logic collapses. You have to deal with logic where something is logical and you keep it, something is illogical and you throw it out. It enables, the law of contradiction, enables consistent reasoning. Without it, we could not make any reliable inferences. If this is true, then we can infer this. If this is not true, then we can infer this. If there is none of that, we can't have it. So, if the Bible said, which it does not, that Jesus died by crucifixion, both at Jerusalem and at Nazareth at the same time, this would be an error or a contradiction. But it doesn't do that. I didn't update my PowerPoint, so we're talking different things here. We might have to just dump this. All right, resolutions. Resolutions. Do two statements differ, or are they contradictions? Differ or contradict? Remember that two statements may differ from each other without being contradictory. That makes sense? Two statements can differ in focus or emphasis. They highlight different aspects of the same situation. Two people seeing a car drive down the road, one says it's blue, one says it's white, and maybe the one's talking about the roof is white, and the other's talking about the body is blue. Look at, check it out, both of them are right, but they both say something separate. Number two, perspective or context. They describe the same event from different vantage points. So what they're saying is true, but they're talking about different parts of the event. Three, level of detail. One may be more general, the other more specific. And then there is time or condition. They may apply, the truth may be true, but it may apply under different circumstances. So differences do not make the statement contradictory. Let me give you some examples of non-contradictory differences. So, statement A, the sky is blue today. Statement B, the sky was gray yesterday. Well, that's quite possible. The relationship is different times. So these two things are not contradictory. They're different. They don't contradict each other. Some dogs are friendly. Some dogs are aggressive. Contradict each other? Well, no. Different subsets, different set of dogs, both can be true. This medication helps most people. This medication didn't help me. General versus personal experience. Just different, not actually contradictory. So in the Bible stories of the blind men at Jericho, Matthew relates how two blind men met Jesus, while both Mark and Luke mention only one. However, neither of these statements denies the other, but rather they are complementary. We find that there were two, while the others are only talking about one of them each. Here's some examples. Some passages are not correctly read. The death of Sisera. Remember, Sisera was a colonel or judge or leader, a rebel in the Judges. So two passages. One, Judges 4:21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. The tent nails are big. They go down into the earth. They help keep the tent from falling down. Took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him. This man came in asking for rest and food, and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it, the head, into the ground. The nail into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Judges 5:25-27, it says, he asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter and a lordly dish. So he came in, hungry as well as weary. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head, didn't knock his head off, but she might have later, but at this point she just nailed it to the ground. When she had pierced and stricken through his temples, at her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. So this is sort of a song about the conquering of this evil king. So the people say, okay, look at the contradictions here. Was he asleep or was he drinking milk? No, she didn't nail his head to the ground while he was drinking milk. That doesn't make sense. These are two different times, two different situations, you see. So the second one that talks about giving the milk, it does not say he was drinking milk at the moment of impact. That doesn't make much sense. It was after he ate and laid down. So, just not read correctly. These are called then contradictions when they're simply different and saying, giving different details. Secondly, some passages need research. Sometimes two passages appear to be contradictory because the translation is not understood accurately. Paul's conversion, as recorded in the book of Acts, there's something that's been brought up a number of times. In Acts 9:7, it says, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless," during this vision that he had, "hearing a voice, but seeing no man." But Acts 22:9 says, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." You say, well, that's a contradiction. Hearing a voice and hearing not the voice. To make it worse, the word hearing is the same word in the Greek. But what is not understood here, and this seeming contradiction gives us a far greater detailed understanding once we understand how this is fit. The statements seem contradictory, but W.F. Arndt and Gingrich had considered one of the best Greek-English dictionaries. The construction of the verb to hear, akouo, is not the same in both accounts. The word akouo is the same, but the construction is not. In Acts 9:7, it is used with the genitive, and in Acts 22:9, with the accusative. Those are cases, if you study language. The construction with the genitive simply expresses that something is being heard, or that certain sounds reach the ear. Nothing is indicated as to whether a person understands what he hears or not. You've been in that situation where somebody says something at the other part of the house, and so I heard you talk, but I couldn't understand what you were saying. That's that. This is akouo with the genitive case. Probably wouldn't help for you to say that to them. But the construction with the accusative describes hearing, which includes mental apprehension, mental understanding of the message spoken. From this, it becomes evident that the two passages are not contradictory. Acts 22:9 does not deny that the associates of Paul heard certain sounds. It simply declared that they did not hear in such a way as to understand what was being said. So our English idiom in this case simply is not so expressive as the Greek. The Greek was very expressive. In later times, many scholars would just simply speak Greek to each other. Later Latin, because the languages were capable of distinctions that English wasn't. So, when there is a possible explanation to a Bible difficulty, it is unreasonable to state that the passage is an error. It's not an error, it just sounds like an error until you understand. This is a work written in another place, another time, in another language. So we are the ones that have to adapt to try to get into it and understand it. The third example, some passages contradict only our present knowledge. Some difficulties result from our lack of knowledge about the circumstances and do not necessarily involve an error. These only prove that we are ignorant of the background. I don't think I have all these examples in the PowerPoint. The Tel Dan inscription, which says the house of David. That's not in there, is it? Okay. The critics claim David was a legendary figure, not a historical king. Discovery, 1993. Archaeologists at Tel Dan in northern Israel unearthed a stone fragment inscribed House of David. The Pilate stone. Critics claim Pontius Pilate was a fictitious character invented by gospel writers. The discovery, 1961. A limestone block was found in Caesarea Maritima bearing the name Pontius Pilatus, identifying him as the Roman prefect of Judea. There it is. You say, you can't say that it's imaginary if you just haven't found it yet. The Pool of Siloam. Critics claim the healing of the blind man in John 9 was symbolic, not tied to real location. Then came the discovery. Excavations in Jerusalem uncovered the actual Pool of Siloam, complete with steps and structure matching the biblical description. There it was. Again, the Moabite stone, Mesha Stele. Critics claim the conflict between Israel and Moab in 2 Kings was exaggerated or fictional. Discovery. In the 19th century, 1800s, a large stone slab was found in Jordan inscribed by King Mesha of Moab. It recounts his battles with Israel, mirroring the biblical account. It's all there. The Caiaphas ossuary, bone box, ossuary. Critics claim the high priest Caiaphas was a literary invention. And then came the discovery. A beautifully decorated bone box ossuary was found at a Jerusalem tomb inscribed with the name Joseph, son of Caiaphas. So these discoveries didn't just silence critics. They enriched our understanding of the ancient world and the Bible's place within it. It also shows that when the Bible says something, we can expect that given enough time, given enough effort, it'll be proven true. As historical and archaeological studies proceed, new light is shed on different, difficult portions of the scripture, and many errors have disappeared with the new information. It is wiser to take a wait-and-see attitude on supposed contradictions. Let me give you the conclusion. Admittedly, all Bible difficulties and claimed discrepancies have not yet been cleared up. That is, the right person hasn't looked at this, the right archaeologist hasn't opened up something yet. But we firmly believe, we have every reason to believe, that as they have done before, the current problems will be resolved. The Bible describes God as an all-knowing, all-powerful being who cannot contradict himself. So his word, when properly understood, cannot contradict itself. There is not the possibility of the Bible being self-contradictory because it is God's word. Let me close then with several verses from the Psalms and Proverbs that emphasize this, that part of our faith is built into the word of God. Brother Jeb Porter and I were talking one time and we said, he is an infinite God, transcendent God, beyond all boundaries. We are so completely finite, so completely bounded by limitations. What should surprise us is that we understand what we do, that his word is so perfectly calculated to give us understanding that we can understand most of it, and only a few things are left unexplained. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I guess that would be pretty pure. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, tested. He is a buckler, a shield to all those that trust in him. Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119:140, the word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And so with this, we understand that as we speak to people who have been told there are contradictions, with a friendly face, saying, well, I've never found that to be true. I have studied the Bible for however long you've been studying the Bible. And that means that you perhaps know something I haven't. Give me the exact examples where there is a contradiction in the Bible. I'm open to hear it and see if I can understand it with you. And most of these people don't have any example at all. They're not talking about an example. They're talking about something they heard, something somebody told them. And so we can be kind to them and open their understanding of the truth. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we turn our hearts to Thee and to Your Word, we understand that the world and the devil fear the Bible. They don't want it to be true. They don't want it to be mandatory. They don't want it to be something that we should take as real. But You are real, and Your Word is real, and both are true. We ask that You might help us then to be proper students of the Word. Even as we've been studying in Daniel, we find that many times the historians were claiming the Bible was wrong or that the Bible was mythological, and then they found the truth. We ask that You might so work that we might have a knowledge of these things to be able to share with others that have been given the false understanding. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.